this time on the K-League United podcast. Well, it happened. Lacking soul and beaten by some soldiers, we take a look back at all these things that Hwang has done as FC Seoul face the indignity of a playoff final to maintain their K-League 1 status. Facing them is an impressive and informed Busan I-Park outfit looking to clench promotion at the third time of asking. With what is easily the biggest promotion relegation final in its brief history, we preview both sides in full and answer your questions from a mailbag bursting at the seams in this audio version of our live studio show. All this and more on this edition of the K-League United podcast.
Hello, annyeonghaseyo. Ryan Walters here in the K-League United bunker in a two-man booth tonight with Matthew Binns.
Hello.
Matthew, I feel like I've seen you recently.
Very recently.
Very recently. In slightly fancier attire than we're in tonight.
Yes.
Matt was able to tell his entire life story to Jay Kong Hee last night at the K-League Awards.
I'm actually now changed my mind. I'm actually quite glad he's leaving so I never actually have to face him again.
It was almost as enjoyable as the first time you met Lee Dong-guk.
I can meet players, and I'm fine with any player. But as soon as it's Jeonbuk, I fall to pieces. As soon as it's my team, I fall to pieces. Kim Min-jae is a decade younger than me. Yeah, I'm sure if I met Kim Min-jae, I'd be an absolute mess.
Yeah, well, Paul didn't really hold it together with Hwang In-bum walking around.
That is
young,
true.
Young Hwang In-bum. Anyway, the awards were last night. Really great show.
It was. Really well put on.
Yeah, really good stuff. Really fun. Some deserved winners.
Definitely.
But our awards aren't quite yet done. We still have the MVP of K1 to announce later tonight. And because of that, and because of everything else that's going on in K-League, we're going to talk about the awards later. Because
yes,
tonight,
well,
for those of you here watching live, please get in some questions as we talk about FC Seoul in the relegation playoff. For those of you listening to the podcast or on FNR down in Australia, get some questions in the mailbag next time. You can get us on Twitter, on Facebook here, or info@kleagueunited.com. That's the way to get at us. We have an amazing mailbag today. I'm really looking forward to it.
You need, well, as soon as Seoul are in danger, all the best questions
everybody
come
out. Yeah. Some weeks it's like, oh, we got a question or two. This week, doing a relegation show, we just, all of the questions came in.
And I have to say, there's a lot of, well, we'll find out. We'll find out when we get to them.
There are some interesting aspects of it, we'll say. Yeah, there's a little bit going on in that mailbag. But before we get there, we've got a few other things to go over. Mainly how this happened. And there is a cat outside, by the way.
The KLU cat is trying to get back into the bunker. Lee Jong-ho-rang-y.
Yeah.
That's why he's...
This is his home. He likes it. So, also, there are some questions coming in now. By all means, even though we do have a pretty chock full mailbag, don't worry about that. Get those questions in, and we're going to get to those. We're going to take a few breaks here and there, so we'll get to those questions as we get going. And, yeah, let's... The thing that never was going to happen has happened.
Well, I mean, I believed.
Yeah, you may have believed all season. So, anyway, we're here because Seoul managed to not pick up a single point in their last two games, which was all that they needed after beating the poor, ragtag, betrayed Jeonnam Dragons.
Who are here in 12th and automatically relegated.
Yeah, yep, they are. Thank you for that reminder. I didn't remember that Dragons were relegated. They were indeed relegated down to K-League 2. And at the time, even after Jeonnam knew that they were going down in 12th, Seoul still had a chance. Yeah. All they had to do was not lose to Sungju. As an American that may or may not have missed out on the World Cup after losing to Trinidad and Tobago, it felt a little bit familiar in that way. It's just, it shouldn't be shocking because this is a team that we've watched all year, but still with that setup, when they beat Jeonnam, That seemed like it sealed both teams' fate.
Yeah, they needed a point.
Yeah,
they needed two games against two teams below them. One was always going to be hard, being Incheon and being a derby. I guess both teams below them would have been were fighting as well, but I guess that's what it comes down to. The teams below them wanted to survive, and I don't know whether this team has ever looked like they've wanted it.
Well, yeah, and we're definitely going to get into that about the season-long stretch of why they're here. The most recent form fits right into that, though. And one of the things that our sole columnist, Paul Neat, pointed out is that they can't defend set pieces.
No.
They can't. They conceded twice against Jeonnam mm-hmm. that way. They conceded against Incheon that way. And to me, not defending set pieces, not really having any tactical acumen moving forward, mm-hmm. and a lot of times the players just don't look like they know what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
And more than that, they don't look like they care. Which, to me, comes down to the manager.
Yeah, they brought in a manager who you think they would care, but how much mm-hmm. of this team is actually his now? You know, the team that Choi Yong-soo had back in 2016, I could name most of those players
yeah.
because they were feared.
Yeah.
This team, I don't know, you know, I struggle. I have to always do a double check with the lineup because
yep.
I struggle to name these players. I struggle to see Seoul's identity, and I think that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing that Hwang Sung-hong did, the biggest thing that Il-yong never managed to rebuild, not that it was his fault entirely.
Well, let's just get into the team that's here, because it's impossible to talk about FC Seoul this year without talking about Hwang Sung-hong mm-hmm. and, quite frankly, just what he did to this team.
Yeah.
What he did to this team in his time with them. This year, he was only in charge for 10 games. 2 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses, a 0 goal difference with 9-4 and 9 against. But that's just the tip of it, right? Before that, the 2016 team,
mm-hmm.
the 1-2 punch of Dayan and Adriano.
Yeah.
Name me a team in K-League that doesn't still want that strike force.
Well, you know, Adriano clearly wants that strike force. And the things he's been saying while he's at Jeonbuk, he still posts about Seoul. That team, there was spirit there, I mm-hmm. think. And
yeah.
There's a reason why people didn't want to verse them. Yeah. They were Champions League semi-finalists. Mm-hmm. They FA Cup finalists. They won the league. They actually went pretty close to a treble.
and we've found out since that things weren't exactly great between Adriano and Hwang Sung-hong. So mm-hmm. Adriano went to China.
Yep.
And on the way back, if you follow him on Instagram, he wasn't exactly making it a secret where he wanted to land with a lot of red and black emojis here and there. But he's now with some other team. But that was the 1-2 punch up top.
Yeah.
When he came on, when he won the title, when mm-hmm. Hwang Sung-hong won the title with them, and he got rid of both of them.
Yep.
Got rid of both of them. And more than that, he also had an absolute workhorse, an engine in the midfield in Takahagi.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of him.
Yep.
This recent offseason, Yuno Luk led the team in assists, was second in the league in assists.
Yeah.
Got rid of him. Osmar led the league in interceptions. Got rid of him. I mean, you can't get rid of that much talent and then wonder why you're in this position.
It's interesting, because his reputation when he was at Pohang Steelers was creating it was obviously the famous there's no foreigners, this is right, an all-Korean right, team right. But it was more than that. There was no player bigger than the club. And now sure. You used to get this philosophy,
the club is the star.
It's how, I hate mentioning him, but it was how Sir Alex Ferguson managed Manchester United. It was always no players bigger than the club.
Mm-hmm.
But that worked at Pohang. That kind of Pohang was had yeah. the right kind of build at that time, mm-hmm. that moment in time, mm-hmm. where he could kind of have that identity. Seoul, he went into a team that, for, you know, good or bad, had a lot of egos, had a lot of characters, had a lot of icons in the crowd. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he decided he wanted it to be like Pohang.
Yeah.
And there's some clubs you can't do that with. And
FC Seoul, you shouldn't do that.
No.
With.
I mean, if you want, why change his winning formula, you know? But right. He wanted it to be his club. And he made it, in doing so, he absolutely has destroyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lasting legacy from the 2016 Manager of the Year.
Which is also a joke in itself, but that's, again, another rant for me to have another day.
Well, he was there for...
It's because he won the league. Whoever wins the league gets Manager of the Year.
Right. But the thing of it is, a lot of the blame does need to rest on his shoulders, but at the same time, he was only there for 10 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Young comes in.
Yep.
And he's there for 22 games, 6 wins,
mm-hmm.
7 draws, and 9 losses, yep. -6 goal difference. And my thing with Leo Young is this comes from the top down. And this is another reason why Seoul is here. A lot of it for me comes from the top down. Why would you knowingly put in an interim manager for the rest of the season after just 10 games? Why would you say we're going to give him this entire season, but he's not going to be our guy? He's not our guy. So you're shooting your manager in the foot right there. We don't have a ton of confidence in you, but go just finish out the season, which is still 30 games, basically. He was never in a position to succeed.
No, he wasn't. And it's, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, really. I've got nothing to add to that. It's, why is the board allowed that to happen?
Right.
And he's ruined his own career. It's not his fault.
Didn't himself any favours.
He's not done himself any favours. It's not really his fault that he's ruined his career, but the board have helped to put a nail into his very young managerial coffin. Because he will be known as one of the three managers this season that has helped to bring Seoul down.
Yeah, a lot of it, again, is what he inherited. But at the same time, he had 22 games in charge. You should definitely be able to put your own stamp on a team in that amount of time. And he never managed to get them to look like they cared.
Well, I think it's across the board. It's not just here. And again, we don't want to go too far off topic today, but it's within the K-League itself. There's this willingness to just let it be. Let's look at Suwon Blue Wings as well. Suwon Blue Wings let Sojun Won go, and they just said, we'll put the caretaker until the end of the season, despite still having the Champions League and the FA Cup and Asian Champions League qualification to fight for.
Well, Suwon was at least on the back end of the season.
Yeah.
With FC Seoul, it was 10 games into the season, and they just almost immediately made this decision, we'll do something in the offseason.
Yeah.
Why? Doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think a lot of, leading into...
I think if it made sense, we wouldn't be talking about Seoul in the relegation zone, would we? I think this whole season for FC Seoul has just been nonsensical, and that's why we're here.
Yeah. Anything else to add on, because I think the reason that he was put in with that temporary tag, the reason that they said, we'll do something in the off season, is because they got the guy that they wanted. They got Cheong-soo back.
But why didn't they bring him in earlier? Because he's not been a manager for a season and a half. He could have come in. He could have come in the summer.
Had to go and commentate on the World Cup. But
even then,
bring him in after the World Cup break.
Yeah, he could have had a say in the transfer market. He could have
given him a say in the transfer
market. Yeah, there was nothing. As his form says, he's got 1-1, drew 2, lost 3, but it's not
with a -2 goal difference against Jeonnam. Sangju, Incheon, amazing. Congrats to Incheon on the run that they've made. Mm-hmm. Never wanted them to be relegated. Super happy that they're staying up. But they have coughed up goals like crazy this year.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get one past them.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's been ridiculous. And the thing is, it's not really, again, his fault. These last two managers, I would say, have just been given what they've been given. Il-young obviously did have a transfer window, but as we're learning, as we've heard in a recent interview with Jorn Andersen as well, saying that clubs tend to just scout players and buy players without the manager's knowledge. Yeah. You can imagine the same's gone on here, and it just comes down to pure mismanagement at board level.
Right, which I think, there is this tendency to talk about the managers and what they are or aren't doing. And I do agree that the board needs to take a lot of the responsibility here. Mm-hmm. But before we move on from the managers, all you needed was a point in your last two games.
Yeah. Okay.
A good manager should be able to do that. A lot of these managers, they are quality. They've got quality. But it just wasn't there this year. But it should have been there enough to just get one more point. Mm. To just get one more point. To have some of those draws.
Yeah,
the plethora of draws. I think they had 13 draws this year. Turn one of those into a win. Hang on to some of those late leads, and instead of having a loss, have a draw. If they could have done that once, then they're not in this situation. But as you said, I think it's something that's been coming from the top down.
It's coming from the top down, and it's been a long time coming. The signs were there last season. We were saying last season how bad FC Seoul were. And
it was
the seeds
their
were planted.
Record flattered them last year.
Yeah.
And they had far more talent on that roster.
That's the only reason why they were there.
Yeah.
They had talent.
Yeah, the talent just dragged them into the top half last year. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This year, again, a lot of that talent has been shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to only get 2 wins in 16 games from August 15th, which was, again and again with Seoul last year and this year, that win that they got was an epic super match win in Suwon, and you thought, yet again, this is going to galvanize them. This is going to be what gets this team over the hump, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It just didn't. And I think going back to your point from earlier about the strike force that they used to have,
yeah,
who are you afraid of on FC Seoul this year to score goals? They scored 40 goals this year, which is fewest in the league, fewer than Sangju, and fewer than Jeonju.
Well, look at their foreign signings as well. You know, the foreign signings that are... it's not part... Again, partly, you don't know who to blame, whether it's the foreign players underperforming or whether it's the managers coming in saying, I don't want these, get me somebody else. Lopez scored the winner in that Suwon game that you mentioned, and he's disappeared off the face of the earth, out of all the teams. It looks like he's on his way out of Seoul as well. Evandro has just become a sub under Cheong-soo, and
that's it's a waste of talent.
Mm. Yeah. Evandro was fantastic for debut last season. So you're telling me that it was just a one-off last year? I think he's just been played wrong.
Well, he also at least offered a change of pace. Mm-hmm. He wasn't necessarily the goal-scoring threat that I think they needed or that they wanted him to be, that he could have been or should have been, but he at least was offering a little bit more than Park Chu-young, for example, maybe. But that's a lot of why they're here. But they also, they did draw the most games out of the bottom half teams. They did have 13. But more than this, and we've said this in live shows and podcasts, every time we're at Sangam, we say this, they didn't look like they cared.
Mm.
They didn't look like they cared when they lost to Sangju.
No, that was it.
They came out for that game knowing what was on the line, and for 90 minutes looked bored.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like they couldn't have cared less to be there. And it's one of those things where they just keep sleepwalking through it, and I don't know if the players have convinced themselves, oh, it can't happen, we're Seoul. Or if they really just don't care. But this entire season, there's just been nothing moving forward from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know whether the players are already thinking of where they could be next season as well. You know, with so many managers, they know that their positions, they've probably figured out who Cheong-soo wants, who Cheong-soo doesn't want. And Cheong-soo also, I'm sure there was public comments made about he wasn't impressed with the quality of the players he had. I mean, he's put Park Chu-young back in as the main starting striker because he's got so lack of faith in the other options.
Yeah.
So they're probably already thinking, well, we're out anyway next season as well. And I just think...
Well, I don't know. A lot of them would be pretty quality in the K-League too. So maybe some of them will stick around. But we'll get to if that's going to happen and everything else in a minute. I think for right now, we'll take a quick break from this. Because there have been some questions that came in on Facebook.
Yep.
You want to get to those ones real quick? And then, again, we've got the mailbag coming up in a little bit where y'all put in some good ones this time. There's some good stuff.
Okay, so we'll just do these ones quickly. So coming in live on Facebook, our own Dan Croydon. You would have heard him as well on the podcast if you're listening to this on the podcast. He would just say, if you're a K-League One manager, who would you take from a relegated Seoul?
Oh,
which ties in nicely with what we were just saying.
Well, if I'm in charge of Sangju, then I'm calling Yang Hanbin, saying, hey, you got to serve in the military anyway. Come on up.
Yeah.
I would take, Go Yohan, obviously.
Yeah.
Go Yohan's quality. I mean, he's done everything that he can. He's the one person on this team that I'm not pointing a finger at all. Mm-hmm. He's the one person that I've seen fight.
Yeah.
He's the one that's had quality all year. He is strapping this team onto his back, trying to carry them on his own. So Go Yohan would be first on my list, unless I've got a goalkeeper issue, in which case I'd take Yang Hanbin.
Yeah, I'd say those two. I'd say Shin Jin-ho possibly. He's not his best season, but he's better than previous. Better than the other talent on the team. Cho Young-ho he's a promising youngster. He had a very good under-20 World Cup. Perhaps he needs a club that actually play him now because he's been relegated to the sub bench.
Yeah, get him onto a squad that needs goals a little bit.
So, but he might actually thrive in K-League too. But anyway, I won't go too much into it. One more is also nominated in, well, was the best 11 nominee was Yoon Seok-yong as well, a left back for Seoul. I think he could probably work his way back into a team in the K-League one. But apart from those, really, they all deserve to go down. And Dan's second question was, would the likes of Park Chu-young actually play in the K-League 2, or would they use their name recognition to move perhaps to somewhere like Southeast Asia? And I would say yes. You look at the likes of Kim Dong-chan.
Yeah.
And also, Park Chu-young is still a sellable asset. He's got 1 year left on his contract. You'd think that Seoul could sell him and rebuild.
It's almost as if he shouldn't have been offered a 2-year contract.
Mm. Anyway, Luke Evans coming in here with just one more question. Mm-hmm. If they escape relegation, do you see them improving next year, or do you think they'll struggle regardless?
There's a really good one that's very similar in the mailbag.
Okay, then we'll come back to that, Luke. But yeah, thank you for those. And yeah, keep them coming in, and I'll be checking in on them after the next segment.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartender's drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
Enough about Seoul for the moment. We will definitely get back to them because that's why we assume folks are watching. That's why we're here to talk about it. But one of the reasons that I think Seoul is in a lot of trouble is because they're facing a very quality Busan High Park side. A Busan High Park side that just a year ago was in this same playoff, lost in heartbreaking fashion, while they also lost the FA Cup final.
Yes.
So this is a team that has been good for a little bit. They didn't come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They look good again this year. How do you see them coming into this one?
Okay, well, first let's just talk about how they actually got here.
Yeah.
So it's their third season in the playoffs. They've experienced and they just need to go that extra level, and this time could be the time that they do it. Busan went down, and when they went down, they've rebuilt season upon season, just building a nice nucleus of a team, and they've got good youngsters coming through. They've got a really cohesive unit. They beat Daejeon Citizen in the playoff semi-final at the weekend, comprehensively. They beat Daejeon 3-0. Yeah. And now, if you, Paul Neat, our columnist Paul Neat, is not here today.
He is watching, though.
Hi, Paul. He's adamant that Daejeon got their tactics wrong, their team selection, which is a fair point. It wasn't a standard Daejeon selection.
And it was a Hwang In-bum-less Daejeon
Citizen. It was a Hwang In-bum-less.
Huge absence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal.
Definitely. Hwang In-bum's been a fantastic player and looks to be Europe bound possibly next season.
Yeah.
But take nothing away from Busan. Busan can only play a put in front of them, and they came out the trap. They just flew at Daejeon. Mm-hmm. It just. Busan have a tendency to start the match not slowly, but try to feel their way into the game before beating a team usually, but this one they just came straight at Daejeon, and I don't know whether it's because they had a nice bit of rest before the game. I think that may have actually helped them.
Yeah.
So 6 minutes they had a goal. It was a free kick in from Romulo, who's also been an amazing player this season.
Yeah.
Again in the actual official K-League best 11 for K2,
and just narrowly lost out on the MVP in our voting.
So basically, he sent the ball into the box, and Daejeon's number 22 came across and mistimed his clearance. The ball bounced under him, and he blocked the keeper's view, and the ball just bounced into the far corner. So a little bit of a good fortune, but that kind of set the tone of, well, Daejeon's now going to attack, because of the way the playoffs work. If it's a draw, the home team goes through.
Obviously, now we're into two legs, so that'll go away now. But yeah, that's the way it was working then, that a draw would have been good enough for Busan.
So Daejeon were now in a situation where they've got to come and attack and get two goals. Moments later, there was a defensive mix-up with the goalkeeper where they nearly let in Busan to score again, you know. There was no communication mix-up, and Daejeon looked stunned. They looked shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And Busan capitalised on that with the second goal just before half-time. It was a nice move. It was a free kick on the edge of the box. Rather than shoot, Romulo again, that man, he decided to play the free kick out to the right. Number 19, Ko Kyung-min, moved out. Ko Kyung-min's got a bit of pace behind him. He moves out to the right to collect it, takes to the byline, pulls it back, no hang sock, slots it in. 2-0 before half-time. job really done. They need to score three goals in the second half to go through. They came out fighting, but Busan naturally sat back knowing Daejeon needed three. I mean, Daejeon did change things in the second half. They brought on Gadoev, who has been really useful for Daejeon this season.
Probably should have started. Yeah. I mean, but that speaks to Paul's point about
wrong selection. Yeah. And, well, the final one, it was 93rd minute. It was a good goal. It was one from range into the bottom left corner from Shin Young-jun. But as I said, Busan were just mainly absorbing pressure in the second half, knowing that Daejeon had to come at them. It was a really just well-worked performance. And a performance that FC Seoul scouts will have taken, you know, and been a little bit worried about. It was impressive, I have to say. They look like a K-League 1 side already.
They've looked like a K-League 1 side all year.
That's true.
That's one of the things that we talked about in the playoff preview show, is mm-hmm. that Busan, Sangnam, Asan, certainly, those are three teams that if you just plunk them into K-1 this year, mm-hmm. they're probably not going to finish in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
You know, because they've been quality. And Busan has been leading that pack in a lot of ways. You know, there was a long time where it looked like they might have got automatic promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a team that...
Well, that is the worry as well, because it did look like they were going to get automatic promotion. Mm-hmm. But with some control over their fate, because obviously Asan did run away with it. But because of the Asan situation, the second position did become an automatic promotion slot. Busan still had control of their own fate, because they were going to verse Songnam on the last day of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually bottled it a little bit at the end, and that would be of concern. You've got two big matches against Seoul mm-hmm. now. You'd be worried about the test of this, the character now for Busan, whether they can just get it over the line. But based on their performance against Daejeon, they'd have a good shot.
That actually leads into a little bit of a preview of the match itself, but one of the questions, and again, there were just a lot that came in, they were great, so we had to pull some out into these other segments. One of them that came in was from Phil Mason, and he asked, do Busan have the mental character to win after losing both the FA Cup final and the playoff final last season? And we'll get the second part in there as well. With this being arguably the biggest playoff game since their introduction, will attendance and TV viewership go up? So dealing with it first, do Busan have the mental character coming into this match?
I thought at the end of the season they were running out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, because Daejeon were also running out, a lot of those playoff teams were actually just losing the will at the end there. It was a busy season this year. But I think the break has done them wonders.
Yeah.
They looked fresh, and most importantly, they looked hungry. They looked really hungry against Daejeon. They just wanted it. They really attacked them. And I think they do. I think this is their time now.
I think this is where the seeding in the playoffs really came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Where finishing in what ended up being second.
Yeah.
Which it was third, but whatever. Asan isn't in there. So for the sake of this, they finished second, as far as my argument's going to go for it. Getting that time off and mm-hmm. then hosting a one-off final, that was huge for them. And like you say, I think that break is exactly what they needed. Knowing what they had coming in, knowing what they needed to do, I think reinvigorated them mentally. And I think last year they were fighting on too many fronts. Mm. And there was also the awful, awful tragedy of Cho Jin-ho having a heart attack and passing away months before the season was over. Like, it just, there was so much going on with them last year, and they still fought through and still had such a strong season. So I think this year it's going to be easier for them mentally, because they have one thing to focus on.
Yeah.
There isn't as much going on off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly something that this team, this organization, has been going for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think that aspect of it, they'll be fine. As far as this being a big playoff game and viewership, I do think for the promotion relegation final, this is easily going to be the most viewed. How could it not be?
Yeah.
These are two giant clubs.
It is. It's one of the biggest clubs, one of the biggest games of the season. It's the first time the playoff has been two conglomerate sides.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's a citizen club coming up, two citizen mm-hmm. sides usually going at it. It's two known, FC Seoul with its history, but two historic teams
in
the
K-League.
All right, okay, I'm referring to Anyang, whatever. Anyway, but two long-term members of the league coming up with an absolute monumental outcome of this. Well, this game has a monumental outcome, right, you know, and it's one of the biggest games for both teams in their history. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I don't think that, you know, obviously FC Seoul was in a Champions League final, so mm-hmm. I'm going to argue that was bigger, but in some ways, was it though? Because that's where you expect to be.
Yeah.
Whereas this, they don't expect to be here. So in some ways, I think it's even bigger for them.
Mm.
But I mean, you know, we can be flippant about the titles that they have, their history, this and that and the other. But the fact is, Seoul and Busan are coming into this mm-hmm. as some of the, like, there are very few clubs that have won multiple K-League titles.
Yeah.
And two of them are now fighting for a spot in the first division mm-hmm. next year. Like, it's massive. So I feel like viewership and hopefully attendance as well. I mean,
count me in.
Right. There was a call to arms from Busan.
The Busan supporters, I should say.
It's, yeah.
Not the Busan.
Not the team itself isn't.
But I'm sure they wouldn't mind the gate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Busan supporters putting out a call to arms saying all K-League fans
mm-hmm.
who want to support against Seoul are more than welcome to join Busan. And I think I may take them up on that offer. But yes, so
the green is going to go so well with red. It's going to be just a Christmas atmosphere over there. Anyway, moving on to the match itself.
Mm-hmm.
We did have another question that came in from Todd Wild, who I believe is watching right now as well. So thank you. Asking what kind of style of play we would expect Seoul to come out with, because Busan have been most effective attacking through their wing play with Romelu out there.
Yeah.
And what changes would we expect Busan to make to counter this, or Seoul to make? Well, I'll start first. Do you expect Busan to make any changes?
I mean, obviously I'm not. I'm not the Busan expert for our website, obviously. Tom Mark Antonio is, if he's watching, hi Tom. Looking at it, I don't think they're going to change it. It's 3-5-2 they've been doing in recent weeks. It seems to be working well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got pace, is one of their strongest aspects, especially down the right wing where Kim Won operates. You've got Ko Kyung-min, who was played as an attacking midfielder mm-hmm. against Daejeon, tends to play behind the strikers, but he tends to move out, drift out wide, and he's also pacey as well. So he drifts out wide to add support and help stretch that back line. Also, Romulo, who was spoken about already,
mm-hmm.
he's tends to just sit there in the centre of the park and spray the ball out to the left and the right and mm-hmm. try and, you know, create these chances. I don't see why you would change it. The way FC Seoul have been playing, they've been playing 3-5-2 as well. It would be 3-5-2 against 3-5-2. But having watched FC Seoul against Sanju, which I did for 90 minutes, it was I thought it was going to be a waste of time until 65 minutes in. At watching Seoul, there was no creativity, no desire. I don't see why Busan would change it. So in my opinion, I'd say they're going to stay the same.
Well,
so,
as is usually the case in these playoffs, the team coming down from K1 has no momentum. Mm-hmm. The team coming up from K2 has all the momentum, and that's the case again here. And I think the wings where Busan usually likes to play, that's going to be really interesting, especially with that three-man back line on both sides. It's going to be really interesting to watch the channels and to see, you know, can Seoul, they've had a lot of different formations this year. Can a three-man back line or even a four-man back line, can they shift? Can they make the changes that they need to make to counter that pace that Busan's going to have coming at them?
Mm-hmm.
Because Busan can get at it. Like they can do it on their day. So it's going to be really interesting to see.
It's going to be,
If those pairings in the back for Seoul can do, quite honestly, what they haven't really been able to do that well.
Yeah, I think Seoul will be expecting a big game from Yoon Suk-young.
Yeah.
I think Yoon Suk-young, he plays at left back. Seoul is going to be going up against Kim Won-hwan there. And as we said, he has been nominated in the best 11. He is mm-hmm. good at his job mm-hmm. in a Seoul team that is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a big day ahead of him, I think. Well, two big days, possibly.
And I think, you know, going back to what we were talking about Seoul earlier, Seoul have struggled on set pieces this year. So if you're Busan, get those set piece opportunities.
Well, you've got Romulo. You've got this man here, Romulo, who is good at free kicks. He's good at picking out play. And as I said, their second goal with Dejan, that was straight off the training ground. They knew that Ko Kyung-min was going to run out to the right wing. Instead of playing it in over into the box, they just knew it and pull it back over the byline.
Which is the difference between having a manager that knows what they're doing and trains their players and a team that has no identity moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and again, like, I think that's another reason this is going to be an interesting matchup to watch because, you know, obviously Choi Young-soo knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a quality manager, but has this team gone too far? And I think organizationally, it's going to be really interesting to see a Busan side that's been tactically sound for the most part. Obviously, they've had slumps here and there. It's a long season. But right now, they look like they're hitting on all cylinders, whereas Seoul, they just continue to kind of putter their way into this relegation playoff. So it's going to be interesting to see if organization in and of itself, just tactical acumen, is going to come into this game. And I think it is.
Yeah.
So... anyway, we've had a few other things come in here on Facebook, so we'll take a quick break and get to those real quick, and then we're going to hop into the full-on mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at KLeague United with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
Okay, so we're just going to quickly go back. We had another question from Todd. We've already answered his mailbag question. But he's just saying, are there any redeeming features to this Seoul side Busan should be wary of? He's saying your takedown of their season is making me worryingly optimistic of a Busan win. I could fully understand the worry, Todd, despite being what I would probably say are favourites. There's always that area for doubt. But I think Seoul, in terms of redeeming features, I think we've already kind of picked up on those in the question of saying which players would you pick as a K-League One manager. I think Go-Yohan, Shin-Jin-Ho, both offer good threats in the centre of the park. Shin-Jin-Ho is quite good with the crossing and things. And
I mean, we've brought up his name a little bit, but in a two-leg series, a strong goalkeeper is going to carry you really far. And Yang Hanbin is worth mentioning again. You know, Yang Hanbin doesn't necessarily have the stats to back him up this year. He hasn't really had the team in front of him to back him up this year. But he's a quality shot stopper. Yeah. And he's going to be at a different level than Busan have seen. Busan have been seeing K2 keepers all year. And, you know, not trying to take anything away from K2, but it is the second division. And they haven't seen keepers of his quality as frequently. I think there are obviously some really talented keepers down in the second division. But Yang Hanbin is one of the best in the first division.
Yeah.
And I think that he alone could pull Seoul out of this in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. He's a very redeeming feature for Seoul. And yeah, good point. I agree with that.
All right. Questions have been great. Keep them coming in because we're going to hop into the mailbag.
Okay,
let's open this thing up.
No, well, before we open it, what are we calling it this week? Because it seems to have a bit of a curse. It was Mustache Michael's mailbag, and then Michael wasn't on the next show.
Yep.
It was Postman Paul's mailbag. Postman Paul's postbag.
Postman Paul's postbag.
And he's not turned up tonight, so...
if it ain't broke, I think it's Mustache Michael's mailbag.
Okay, well, he's with us in spirit, and his mustache as well.
The mustache is not. No. November's over, and I hope that thing is too. It can live on in name only.
All right.
Sorry, Michael.
Well, let's dive right in then. So, first question in the mailbag is an email, actually. It's from E. Min Hyuk. He said, is it fair, it's a good one, actually, is it fair that Seoul are in this playoff due to goals scored?
Ooh. Yeah, so for those of you that might not know, in K-League, and this doesn't show up in all the scoring apps either, this is really interesting if you're a casual fan. They switched this recently that the tiebreaker is goals scored, not goal difference. This was something that the league put in place a couple years ago to try to increase scoring, to try to put more emphasis on scoring goals. And I agreed with the decision then. I like this rule for this league. I don't think it's the best for every league in the world, but I think for K-League, having that difference come down to goals scored and are you entertaining? Are you an entertaining football team to watch? Mm-hmm. And I like that as the tiebreaker. So for me, is it fair? Maybe not, but I like it. And the other thing is, if you don't like it, just go score more goals than Sangju and you're not in this position.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I it's not fair. I think goal difference rewards good defending as well. But in a league that needs attacking football, and this rule has increased the number of goals scored in the league.
Yeah.
And look at the teams that we're now getting at the bottom. You've got teams like Incheon that, yeah, okay, they're letting a load, but because they score a load, they're going to be all right. I think it encourages this kind of attacking philosophy. And yeah, poor soul for not taking advantage of it by not buying a...
Score more goals. Yeah. Be more fun to watch.
Maybe you could have kept Dayan. No, but thank you for that question, Minhyuk. It is a really good question.
So, I mean, to answer it more bluntly, is it fair? Maybe not. Because like you said, it doesn't reward defense as much as maybe it should, but do I like it? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've also got Scott Little, who sent in his question on Facebook. He said, do you think the bigger, richer teams get more decisions from the match officials in the K-League? Okay, right, I'll take...
Okay. I'm just gonna walk off camera.
Yes, but I don't think for the conspiracy tinfoil hat thing that people might be alluding to. I think bigger, richer teams get more decisions all over the world. And I don't know whether it's because they're richer or bigger, but I think sometimes... You want to be diplomatic when you answer this, but I think you know, when you've got like a high... In Seoul, Seoul, for example, you usually have a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it can create that intimidating atmosphere. And also these bigger teams tend to attack more.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to attack more, and then they get these decisions by more, you know, failed attacks and things. Mm-hmm. So that would be my diplomatic answer, Scott.
Keep in mind, this is a Jeonbuk fan speaking. So,
well, we've certainly had, yes, but anyway. But no, that's... I think referees can be intimidated by crowds. VAR is in place to theoretically help stop that as well, give them something.
Doesn't always work.
Well, that's why VAR's not shown on the TV, because they don't... Yeah, but still,
yeah,
it's a hard one to answer. I think it exists all over the world. I think the teams that have luck as well, the luck of the draw, always tend to be at the top as well. But if you create more attacking opportunities, if you have better players, you tend to get more calls going in your favour because you're pushing more and something's going to come off. You keep attacking, something's going to come off. Is it... It happens. I like to think, I still believe that it does balance itself out over a season, but it doesn't at times.
I think the way that I'll say this is, I'll just take this question very literally, and do I think bigger clubs get more decisions? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they do. Again, do I think there's this massive conspiracy? Not really.
I don't think there is, but I think obviously because given the K-League's history... With that element,
that's always going to come up.
It'll always come up.
Yeah,
and
but I mean, as you said, we always go to EPL as the example. But you know, if it's
you go to any league, the bigger teams, you're always saying, "Oh, they always get the decisions."
Right,
and there's always a team in every league. We say, "Oh, yeah, but they're always lucky and they always get the decisions." And it is always the bigger teams, and I think that's just the way it is. That's football, but I just don't love it.
Don't love it.
So, Scott, to answer your question in brief, I think yes, unfortunately, but I don't think it's a big conspiracy theory.
Move on.
Can I just add to the caveat, though? Luke Evans has also wrote in with, will the KFA be sending officials from the provinces to referee the game or only Seoul-based ones?
It's interesting.
I actually don't know. And the reason is, after 2016, one of the rules that came in after that 2016 corruption, the bribery case, is that referees aren't announced until 24 hours before the game.
Yeah, so we'll find out soon-ish.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can't really answer that one, but yeah, it was part of one of their initiatives to help cut down on the bribery. They're not publicly known until close to kickoff. Okay, we'll keep going through. We've got Jung Kim here with, do you think FC Seoul will continue with Chaeyoung-soo next season?
Yeah. I mean, because if they go down, he had six games in these playoffs to try to do something about it. So mm-hmm. you can brush that off and say, well, that's not really his fault. I mean, again, he had six games, and the last two of which he only needed to get a point.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of blame to go around. But at the same time, if you've got him under contract and he's willing to manage in the second division, yep. Sign me up for that. I'll keep him around. Why wouldn't you?
I think FC Seoul will continue with him. It's whether Che Young-soo wants to continue, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He might use it as an opportunity to say, I failed, I resign. But he might do it favorably to himself and be like, okay, I'll leave. But he's got out of it.
Yeah.
But I think if FC Seoul can, he's under contract, I think FC Seoul will. And
if they survive this, if they win this playoff, then I think definitely. Mm-hmm. I think... Either way, I think Seoul would want to, but like you said, if Che Young-soo wants to, it's going to be a different story.
Okay. Going next, we have Matthew Spencer, who wrote in on Facebook, and it's a two-parter. So we'll mm-hmm. start with the first part. Is this the most important game in FC Seoul's history? Well, we've kind of touched on it already, but we'll just say it again. I think possibly for me, it's up there.
It's a tough one.
Because, it's up there, definitely.
I mean, they had a home leg in an AFC Champions League mm-hmm. final. It's tough to say that there are bigger games
in
than
terms
that.
Of repercussions, though.
But in right, and again, as we said earlier, in case you're just tuning in, you with the way that Seoul has built themselves with the trophies that they've won, you would expect them to be in the Champions League mm-hmm. final. You don't expect them to be where they are now. So in that way, I think before you were playing for prestige, you were playing to become one of the truly elite clubs in Asia. Now you're playing to save your organization's, like to save face for your organization. Mm-hmm. You know, when Seongnam went down a few years ago, that was massive. And they took their seven K-League titles with them. But that was when they became a citizen club
yeah.
and they were struggling to make that transition. And it couldn't have really been considered that much of a surprise. It was shocking. But again, with the transition that the club was making at the time, it wasn't that surprising.
In context, it's not. Looking back in hindsight, knowing Seoul in this mess, it's kind of like, well, actually, maybe Seongnam wasn't that shocking, but yeah, it still was big though. It was massive, Seongnam going
so,
down.
Is this the biggest game in their history? It's a really good question. Yes and no. I mean, if they win, no.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose, absolutely.
I'd like to up it. I'd like to say, is this one of the most important games in K-League history? And I would say, the reason why I say that is if Seoul go down, now mm-hmm. Seoul go down, in the short term it's bad for the K-League.
Yes.
But I actually think in the long term it's better. And the reason is behind that, we've seen it before. It's been mentioned by Hong Chul, who had some comments to say
just
last night at the awards. It's been reported in the news. He's angry at the investment, lack of investment mm-hmm. at Suwon. Che Kang-hee left Jeonbuk and saying investment is difficult in the K-League. He's angry at other teams in the K-League not investing. This could be the warning shot that other K-League clubs need. There needs to be a shock factor.
Mm-hmm.
FC Seoul go down because of mismanagement at board level, mm-hmm. because of lack of investment, because of half-assed signings in the summer. It's a lesson. Because look at Busan I Park, who's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is a lesson on how to run a club.
Mm-hmm.
Busan I Park went down. They rebuilt. They built a cohesive unit. They've brought through youngsters. They're investing. They've done great work this season off the field mm-hmm. to introduce in their marketing department. They've also had the international ambassadors as well this year. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them as well if they're watching. And
well, they've just had an effort.
But that's what that's what I'm saying. FC Seoul, for the good of the K-League in the long term, in my opinion, has to go down. I'm going to put it on that. So I think So I think it's one of the most important games in K-League history because the team that is being run in a better way should succeed. The team that is being run badly should not get another chance.
My only concern, and I'm largely just playing devil's advocate here. That's mm-hmm. it's a convincing argument. My only concern is that the other large teams mm-hmm. would see Seoul go down and say, oh, well, why should we invest? They would. I think some clubs might have the opposite reaction and say, "Oh, look at how much Seoul spent, and they still went down. Well, we don't even need to spend that much." Then.
Again, that is an interesting point and a fair point. Because me and Paul mentioned it on a few pods back. One of Che Kanyi's comments as well was, "People stopped investing because in 2013 the salaries were published at the end of every season, and everybody said, oh, that's what we need to pay to compete. We'd rather not compete."
I don't buy that.
Well,
personally.
I'm adding to his quote a bit. Yeah. That's not the direct translation, but that's what he was going on about.
Publishing salaries is something that's done pretty much throughout the world.
The point I was connecting it to was, if clubs, you know, say, well, this is the out, there's a lot of, well, okay, then we don't need to bother. So that's what I was connecting it to.
Well, either way, it will be a historic match. Is it the...
I honestly think that I'm
again,
genuinely...
if they win, no. If they lose, yes. That's my weird answer.
Okay. We have gone on a long question for this one, but just to answer your second part, Matthew, if they lose, would it ignite a derby with Seoul Eland?
By default. But I mean...
I think it's a derby that Seoul Eland have always wanted. Yeah, because that's Eland, what they were built to. They were built to do it. You know, they're not. But it's not a. It's going to be such it's going to be such a false derby.
That's the sad trombone derby right there, because that's not supposed to happen in K2. That was supposed to happen in K1.
The derby that will be the one to watch, FC Seoul versus FC Anyang.
Ooh, that would be tasty.
That would be very tasty.
That might sell me on them getting real. It doesn't, but...
Okay, Carson Newer with the questioning on Facebook. Hi, Carson. How will K-League 2... how will it affect the K-League 2 revenues? Mm-hmm. Okay, because FC Seoul is an expensive organisation to run. Is their solvency at risk? I don't think their solvency are at risk. I think the capital wants a club and they're not going to let it be Eland.
Sorry, Eland.
I don't think Eland want it to be Eland these days. It's going to affect revenues. I think, though, for the games like Anyang, for the Seoul derby, good or for bad, and even just for those teams, there's a lot of teams in Gyeonggi-do as well that will all consider it derbies, like Bucheon.
Well, and a bunch of teams that, let's face it, probably aren't going to get a shot to face FC Seoul.
Yeah, otherwise. It's going to be... The only problem with the K2 is... everybody versus each other four times. So the novelty will wear off in the middle. But those first 10 fixtures, first 9 fixtures, sorry, it's going to be fierce for Seoul. I think Seoul will do what Songnam did when they got relegated, and it'll take ages to get that first win because everyone will fight them like it's a cup final.
Oh, everybody's going to they'll have a massive target on their back.
They'll come back, but I think it's not going to affect it. It is going to affect it. There's no doubt about that. People will always walk away when a team goes down. But
well, I mean, and that's the thing. And I don't. Oh, we do have a question about it, so I won't touch on it.
Okay. Lex Nande coming in on Facebook. Seoul's big attendances only came when there were big teams in town. No super match. No John Book. No Incheon. Would they be looking at the lowest attendance in club history?
No.
No.
No, because... Well, no.
There'll always be teams that will come...
I think there are going to be a lot of... If they go down, and there's a theme in this mailbag from what people have sent in, but if Seoul go down, then they're going to have matches like Anyang. They're going to have the Seoul Derby, which, again, this isn't where they pictured it, but Anyang fans are going to show up.
Mm.
They showed up in pretty good number for an FA Cup match. On a Wednesday night for an early kickoff, they're going to show up on the weekend. Eland fans are going to show up.
Finally.
That's where they've all been hiding.
Sorry, I'm sorry. That was a really low blow. I'm sorry if you're watching that, Eland fans.
Both of the Eland fans that are watching are very upset. It would be low attendance by Seoul standards, sure. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, I mean, maybe it would be their worst, but I don't think it would be as massive of a decline because this year the attendance wasn't that good because, quite frankly, they've been very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
They've been a very tough team to watch this year.
And if they're winning in the K2, it might actually go up a bit.
Yeah.
Because they might actually enjoy football again.
Yeah. So I think I think attendance in K2 would be fine, but my concern, and this is what I was about to bring up in the previous question, my concern is the hit the K1 numbers are going to take, because Seoul routinely leads the league in attendance. Yep. It is the capital. There are 10 million people that live here, so that makes sense. But just when we're talking averages and when we're talking about trying to look at ad revenue, TV, things like that, that hit is going to hurt the league.
It's undoubtedly, that's what I was trying to say earlier. Short term, this is going to be bad for the league.
Yeah.
But I think it's got to be done. I think, you know, you're going to have to lance this cyst. Sorry, Seoul fans, for calling your team.
Matt Binns, love Seoul.
Paul was supposed to be here today. You got the Jeonbuk fan on to talk about Seoul.
The Jeonbuk fan and the Jeonnam fan that's still just a little upset about things. And, you know, to be fair, I wear the red and black.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This has got to be the final one from the mailbag. Yep. Not because it's the end of the mailbag, but I think we've kind of covered everyone's questions. There's a little bit of repetitiveness, but I hope you've managed to find your answer in amongst it somewhere.
And if not, get them in the comments. Yeah, and we're going to be back again next week, at least for a podcast. If not for a live show, we will be doing another podcast.
Yeah, there'll be season reviews coming as well. So if we'll find time to answer them somewhere. So the final one is going to be Andy Clay. He put his question in on Facebook as well. So hi, Andy, if you're watching. If Seoul do go down, would they necessarily be a shoo-in to come straight back up?
Considering what happened this year, Asan got dissolved. We don't know what's going to happen with
them. Oh, no, we do. They know that they've been put back in today, as I've announced this morning on the Unhype News.
Missed that one.
They've got till December 20th to complete the conversion into a citizen club.
Okay.
So they've got one more roll of the dice.
Ooh. Well, with that midfield coming back, what I was going to say is with Asan on the picture, but now they're not. But with Sungnam going up, and obviously if Seoul's going down, Busan's coming up. And the other teams that were in the playoffs this year, Daejeon and Gwangju, good, talented, young squads, but are they going to be able to topple FC Seoul next year? I don't think so. So I think the amount of quality that's coming up from K2 this year would make it easier for Seoul to come right back up. But Asan's a really talented club. And that talent is going to be there next year. You know, Asan sent people to the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, so did Seoul. But point being, it wouldn't be a cakewalk for them, but I would definitely favor them to, if not automatically come up from winning the league, they're certainly going to be in the playoffs. If not...
But no, it's going to be December 20th for Asan, but they've got to hand over the management rights to the city government by then. If they can do that, they'll be allowed to compete in the K-League 2 next season. Okay.
Well, let's hope that happens, because you never want to see a club dissolved. You know, long live Goyang Zykro.
I don't think Zykro can even make Kits for Suwon anymore, let alone run a football club.
Chungju Homo Fighting. Anyway, these are all clubs that are gone for people that are tuning in that don't know much about the K-League history or don't care. Anyway.
There's one final question which we've had live, so I'm just going to read that, and I think that's going to be the end of the mailbag. Luke Evans once more. If Busan can get one or two up in the first leg, do you see Seoul players even turning up for the second leg? I think this would be kind of... We'll go into our predictions with this question.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because the first leg's down to Busan. So if Busan go one or two up at home, that's not really that big of a deal, because they're not going to be carrying those away goals with them into the second leg. You know, so I think even if Seoul loses 2-1 and they come back with an away goal from Busan, that's not... Anytime there's a two-legged affair, if you're coming back home for the second leg with away goals, you're in pretty good shape. But going back to what we were saying about FC Seoul this year, this is a team that's lacked character all year. They have not had fight at all this year, except for when they play Suwon. Oddly enough, they've just managed to get up for that super match every time. So, in theory, should they? No, because away goals should matter more. But in practice, this is a team that's had their head down all year. So, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, Seoul have just looked... They lack fight to me. I think, you know, I actually agree. I think Busan could get a few goals Then it's going to be very hard for Seoul to come back. They just didn't. They don't look like they've got character anymore. They look like they look like they're down, and I think that's the most damning indictment I can say of them.
It's been a month-long slide into this playoff for them,
mm-hmm.
And well, yeah. To end by where I usually put my foot squarely in my mouth. How do you see this finishing? What's your prediction for the two-legged final? Who's going up? Who's staying up or who's going up?
Busan are coming up. I just think they look the part, and Seoul don't. I think Busan is their time now, finally. And I imagine them coming up. I don't know how comfortable it'll be, but they'll find a way to get through.
Oh, I agree. I don't. There has been nothing from Seoul this year to indicate that they're up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the talent?
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking about bright spots on the team, they certainly have the talent, and they have a manager that knows how to win on his day. But this is a club that just have not cared all year. Mm-hmm. And for me, the reason that I'm saying I don't think that they're going to win this playoff is because I watched them last weekend against Sungju, and they didn't score a goal. Against Sungju, all they had to do was score a goal. And they couldn't get up for it then. They couldn't get up for it when they knew if they just didn't lose on that last day against the team that they could have sent into this position, a team that struggled all year, the team that was in these playoffs last year. If you can't get up for that game, how the hell are you going to beat Busan?
But either way, it's going to be a match for people to watch.
Yeah, it is.
So if you're a neutral, how can you not want to watch this match? It's just going to be such a spectacle. But
and we'll be covering the match live on Sunday. We'll all be going
From different stands.
From different ends of the stadium. We'll be there covering it. So we'll be doing a pregame show. So if you have anything else that we didn't cover today or anything you would like us to go over for the actual match preview when we're there on the day, go ahead and get those questions in here on Facebook if you're watching live. If you're listening to the podcast, you can get us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place, at K-League United. You can email us. info@kleagueunited.com. And as far as the podcast goes, you can get us all over the place.
Yeah, all now. Good podcasting apps. iTunes, we're on Spotify now as well, TuneIn Radio. But if there is an app that you want, put it below. I'll find a way of making sure that it's on there as well.
We'll try to make sure that's happening.
Yeah, and you can catch us live every...
You can catch us live every Thursday on Football Nation Radio, FNR, down in Australia. That airs at 5 p.m. drive time.
Well, 5 p.m. Sydney time.
It's 3 p.m. for us on a Thursday. So, and again, watch live, comment, have fun with it. But for tonight, for now, I think that's about it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And
just one final question. When's the kickoff? Which would help, Ryan. So let me just explain to everyone the kickoffs. So the first leg is on Thursday, the 6th of December.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 7 o'clock Korean time.
Get home early.
That's down in Busan. The away leg is on Sunday in Seoul. It's going to be at 2:10 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. So make sure you get to both of those. Make sure you're tuning in to both of those.
And I think given the invites that have been put out there by the Busan supporters, I think it's going to be a little bit of a party atmosphere on Sunday. So I think it could be a pretty fun one to go to. It's going to be a little bit chilly, but it hasn't been too bad up here. And again, I think the away end will be having fun.
It's also going to be one of the last games till March.
Right.
So,
yeah. So why not come out or tune in? Anyway, now that is officially all that we have the time for tonight. Okay. So we're going to get out of here. Questions, comments, anything else, get them in below. But thank you so much for watching and or listening, and we'll see you again soon. Good night.